Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
This is
That's so dumb.
Velger.
Oh, you idiot.
Mass.
Holy crap.
Velger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
You know, Boston sports fans are going to have two TVs. You know, the one Red Sox game right there and the Patriots game right there. So, and you know, probably halftime of our game, the Red Sox game will be up or something. So, I mean, you gotta give them credit. Our fans, those Boston fans, New England fans, I mean, they're diehard fans, not just for football, but for every sport around here. So you know they'll find a way to watch both.
So now, of course, I made all these suggestions. Get yourself an Amazon Fire Stick or Roku.
I have a Fire Stick.
Roku, Fire Stick. No. I'm not saying these are bad products or anything. I'm just saying no. I'm not downloading anything. I'm not futzing with anything. I'm not dinking around on the internet with downloads or apps or anything like that. I call a guy. The guy comes. He puts it up. And then he hands me the remote, and it's all dialed in. And then I write him a check. That's what we're doing.
So you're going to need a second cable box then.
Well, they have those remote boxes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need another one of those.
Yeah,
though.
I will need another one. It's going to cost me X amount a month. Yep. I've been calculating that because I'm cheap. So again, I've already factored that in.
Well, you better call that guy then too.
Well, but I'm willing to pay for it. Well, hopefully. So you need that guy out too?
Oh, I think so. Your installation guy and your provider guy are two different guys.
I know they're two different guys.
Yeah, you need two
guys. They both have to be there?
You need both guys.
Just for the weekend, could he steal one of my remote boxes from one of my other TVs and put it there and then just sort of...
Oh, yeah.
You know, jury rig it for the...
You could do that.
Yeah. For the weekend.
It's cheating, but yeah.
Okay, well, but it's a temporary cheat. But I'm not doing these things. I'm not doing the apps and the downloading. No. I'm cheap. But I'm also... I don't have the patience for any of that crap. None of it. Zero. I'll bring a guy in. I'll pay the guy. He'll do it. He'll hand me the remote and it'll be ready to go.
You don't have the... Patience.
That too.
That's what you said, patience?
Did I say patience?
You said patience. Yeah. I was going to say you don't have the smarts.
And I definitely don't have the aptitude. There's no question about it. I want nothing to do with that. It's all I could do. Believe me, it's a miracle that I've got the app on here to watch my Brewers on the freaking phone or the Nesson app or whatever to watch the Bruins. Like, I figured that stuff out. Like that, and that's as far as I'm going, pal.
Like the Ness and Go app.
Roku. Whatever.
I got the Fire Stick.
Whatever. What?
Yeah, the Fire
Stick. I don't even want to ask what that is.
I'll tell you where you can put your fire.
Mike and Hunt, lead us off this hour. Agenda Free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. What do you got on David Price, Mike?
I want to defend Price, so hear me out. Of his 10 starts in the playoffs, 4 of them have actually been quality starts. Including 8 innings, 2 runs against the Orioles, and he lost that game 2-1. Like, is that his fault? So you can't hold this record against him. He's had some good starts.
Mike, so I can't hold his record against him. Do you feel he's been unfairly labeled as a poor postseason performer?
Well, I don't think that you can judge a player on such a small sample size, even though it is 10 starts.
Small sample size?
What are we doing?
Mike, he started 14 postseason games. What are his team's record, Maz?
2-12 in the last 14.
How many games do you want? It's a small sample.
It's win-loss record. It's not fair. Like, how is he getting a loss for 8 innings, 2 runs against the Orioles?
Okay, he's got a 6 ERA. He's got a 6-something ERA.
Right, so he's had 4 really good starts and a few horrible starts that have skewed his ERA because the sample's so small.
I would not go really good on some of those starts. I think 2 might qualify as really good.
But that guy's a stat nerd.
But there are a couple that were just your generic quality start, 3 runs, 6 innings, which is hardly postseason ace sort of stuff. I mean, if you want to tell me he's had a couple quality starts in those 14, fine. Don't tell me that he's somehow being misportrayed. That is ridiculous.
He has made 2 career postseason starts for the Red Sox. He's going to combine 5 innings and give it up 8 runs. Where's the gray area?
No, but that's a small sample. Like, that's fine. Like, that's a small sample. He's had 14 career postseason starts. His teams are 2-14.
I'm just telling you, the last two times they've sent him out to the mound to start a playoff game, he's given up 8 runs in 5 innings combined. Okay, small sample or no small sample. Sorry, I actually do put something or put some stock into the whole idea that some guys feel the heat. This guy clearly does. So take the numbers out. Leave them out. Let's say he were 1-9, that he's actually 1-1. Does it make a difference?
No, it makes no difference.
He has trouble handling the moment.
But look, I'm not ruling out that he's going to do it. I've said all year he's going to break through this year. And then he did that thing against New York, which has scared me from like saying it again. But the way they're going and the way they've played these matchups, they've generally worked. And this is why they're pitching Price. Not because, trust me, caller, the Sox are not pitching Price because they think he's been unfairly labeled. They're not pitching because they trust him, like Cora said. That's not true. They're trusting him because of this. Since he joined the Red Sox, which is 8 outings, which is a decent sample, he's 3-0 with a 2-4-3 in 4 starts, 8 appearances, including 2 dominant relief performances in last year's playoffs. Now, those people who talk about small sample, I'm sure, are willing to go to the 2 relief appearances last year. You don't hear the Red Sox people saying, well, that's a small sample. No, no, no. They take his relief appearances last year as legit.
Of course.
A legit sample. So you folks are frauds when it comes to this stuff. But either way, since Price got here in 2016, 3-0, 2.43 ERA in 8 appearances. The Astros have a OPS against him of 5.99. That is exceptional for that lineup.
Sure it is.
He struck out over 11 guys per 9 innings against the Astros. That's why he's pitching. Not because he's been unfairly labeled or somehow he's had a few quality starts. No, no. They're matchup driven, and that's the matchup right there.
So look, I admit that there's some hard luck in there with Price. Of course there is. I mean, you can't go winless in 10 starts and not have a little bad luck in there, too. But again, when you take the whole body of work, he hasn't pitched well. Fact. Fact.
I mean, it's no way around it.
It doesn't mean he's incapable of, like, having a good game. Of course, it's always about the next game. But we're just going to say that the stats are misleading? No, they're not. They're dead on balls accurate.
Here's someone calling himself the furnace in the car on the Patriots. Yes, furnace.
I think that Travis Kelce's skill set is very similar to Aaron Hernandez. And also, all of your callers, they stink and they suck, and David Price is going to go an inning and a third and let up 5 runs.
So do you call yourself the furnace because your takes are so hot?
I'm hot, baby.
Okay. The delivery needs a little work, but fair enough. Those were some hot takes.
I'm hot, baby.
Yeah, I'm the furnace. And let me tell you.
I said the delivery, if he's going to call himself the furnace, needs a little bit of enhancement. But Price is going to go inning and a third. Travis Kelce reminds him of Aaron Hernandez. What was the third one?
I don't know.
Okay. I thought they were hot takes.
The callers, they suck.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. That wasn't such a great take. Greg in the car on the Pats. Hi, Greg.
I wanted to talk a little bit about McDaniels and Brady's relationship. I look at it like McDaniels is pissed at Brady because he had the next best thing with Garoppolo, and every time that he looks at Brady now, he's like, you are going to retire within a year, and I'm going to be stuck with nothing.
Huh. Well, I think the coaching staff feels that way. You know, Bill and his people feel that way, that Brady deprived them of their plan. And, like, you know, did it through his just sheer performance. So they have to also have a grudging respect for it, but they're still sort of pissed. Like,
sure,
we wanted to do this thing, and we can't do it now. McDaniels, I go back and forth. Like, you hear different things. You know, obviously, like, in the Tom versus Time thing, he calls McDaniels after the game and confides in him, and he really feels like it's Brady and Josh and Brady and Josh and Brady and Josh. And then you hear things like they're not so good for some reason, or there's a little bit of a falling out for some reason. Like, I don't know where to go with that. He told him to go F himself in Buffalo last year in front of his parents.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know.
No, I don't know either. I mean, and look, I think that the dysfunction overall in there is still there. So it's not showing up right now because they played a little bit better. And then, you know, they looked a little more like themselves.
They're playing and winning again.
Exactly. So it's going away. This gets back to the, you know, Chris Gasper deodorant, or winning is the best deodorant. But if they start losing again, this stuff will start showing up. I just think there's fractures all over the place in there between Brady and Belichick, probably between Belichick and McDaniels, between Belichick and Kraft. The only one I think we can say that is probably pretty solid is Brady Kraft, although, based on some of the stuff that's come out in these books, Brady was pissed during Deflategate.
Absolutely. They're all pissed at each other. That thing still exists. So we said, you know, what constitutes a successful outing for David Price? We gave it the generic quality start. 6 innings, 3 runs. If he goes 6 innings and 3 runs, Cora was right. He's had a postseason success, and you know they were right to start him in game 2. That's the line of demarcation. 6 innings, 3 runs. Does he do it, Murray?
No.
Does he do it, Maz?
No, not 6 innings, no.
I'm going to go back to yes. Again, I said it all year. He's going to be...
This is how casinos are built.
He's going to break through. He's going to break through. Every dog has his day. He'll have his day on Saturday.
He might have 5 innings, but I don't think he's getting 6.
Alex in the car, what do you think?
No, I think 6 innings, 3 runs is what I'm going to consider a successful start. Anything less than that, depending what he's given up and how short of a leash Alex Cora gives him.
Well, but hold on. We can't gauge it against himself. In other words, a good start for Price is 4 innings, 1 run. You know, like, but no. He's got to be judged like a normal major league pitcher with expectations and a pitcher who makes a lot of money and is expected to help lead the staff.
If you use that as a standard, then he's got to go 6.
He's got to go 6. I mean, Eovaldi went what?
7.
So I'm not expecting that or asking for that, but you got to go 6. And keep him in the game.
I mean, if you factor that part of it in, like the what they paid to bring him in here and what the goal was, he's got to go 6. If you look at it and say, at this stage, what would constitute a good start, then you lower the standard.
Oh, my God. I just hope he's not listening to anything. Because you can just imagine, like, this is why he craps himself because of the buildup and the, like, the...
That's the problem. It's what's between his ears.
What's he doing right now, Murray, if he's listening?
What did I say the temperature was going to be? Hold on, let me look at my... Hold on. Weather... it's 49 on Sunday night. I hate the cold. It's 49. Really don't like how it gets cold. Should I wear sleeves? Shouldn't I wear sleeves? Am I going to be comfortable? Are the sleeves going to be... They going to put in, they smell like Tide? I get that reaction. I get a little itchy when she uses Tide.
He's hyperventilating right now.
People are going to get 2 TVs. Means they're actually going to watch. They weren't supposed to watch. Now they're going to watch.
Like, that's all I ask for. Can you just be calm?
Oh, my God.
Can you not act like you just found out you got audited or you found a lump?
He needs a ventilator up there.
I don't need 6 innings. Just don't look like you're freaking out by the first pitch.
You get no shot at that, Murray.
I thought people would watch the Patriots. 49. I gotta think about this. Do I wear the sleeves? Do I not wear the sleeves? It's gonna be cold, so I'm gonna be cold. I'm gonna be uncomfortable. I'm gonna be a little uncomfortable, but then again, the sleeves, a little bit cumbersome. And they might smell like deodorant. Not deodorant, but the detergent she uses that I don't like. That... Breathe, David. Dave. Playing the Astros is not like my adorable dog Astro. I can't think about that too much.
See, this is a problem with him starting. He's too much time to think.
Absolutely. You're better off putting him in the bullpen. And then in a moment's notice, go get up, throw, and get in there.
Yeah, that he can do. Don't have time to think. Otherwise, days on end.
I'm telling you, and I actually think it also reflects in his pitching, that whole nibbling thing. Just get out there, shut your ears off, and just whip the thing. Whip it.
We're back with more right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
Gets the ball to all of his receivers. Quick release. Sees things quickly. Can extend plays. Got a great arm. Got a fabulous arm. Throw the ball out of the stadium. Makes good decisions. Accurate. Get the ball out on time. No matter where it goes, it gets there pretty quickly. I mean, the further a quarterback can throw it, the more you got to defend. So. Ball's on their 20-yard line. You still got to defend to the goal line against him, so he can rip it.
So biggest story this weekend is David Price to me. What's going to happen with that guy? And then the second thing, I think the second biggest story is how do the Patriots handle who is the biggest star in the NFL right now? In which that Patrick Mahomes is the biggest thing in the league right now?
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, in terms of it, like, you know, explosive stories at the beginning of the year, him. Yeah, I mean, Kansas City's been it.
I mean, arguably the best player or the biggest story or the biggest you know.
I mean, hit them and the Rams, right? Goff's up there too, I guess. But this kid's new, right? Goff was around last year. I mean, this came out, I don't want to say came out of nowhere, but pretty close.
He's the big thing. The next big thing, and he's been just lights out through 5 weeks, and here he comes. And your defense is, you know. So what do you do? Does Belichick have something up his sleeve? Is this one of these old school Patriots games where they have the answer? They pop the balloon. And I think it is, you know. I think it is. I think this is a classic spot for the Patriots. Everyone is kissing their ass, meaning the Chiefs' ass. Everyone is on them. Even though the Pats are still favored in this ballgame, the public sentiment is towards Kansas City. The hype is towards Kansas City. Pats have had 10 days off. So even got an extra run-up. They got their ass handed to them by this team week one of last year. So Bill gets to play all that film and harken back to all that stuff and correct all those mistakes, which are so correctable. Just don't give up the big play. And I think that is as easy as it sounds. And see if these guys can be paid. And I don't know. It's just one of those spots on national TV where at the end of it, you'll hear Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, which they like to do, start playing the bell game. Like, oh, I guess the Patriots aren't done. You know, those guys get so annoying with that. They do that more than any other crew I've ever seen.
Yep.
And they're so lucky. It's not just you. I mean, any game that they do. But what they do is they come in for a game for the week. They get the press clippings on both sides. Hear what's being said about both teams. One side's going to be wrong, right? I mean, like, they're going to find the negative stuff about the Bears, and the Bears play well. So I guess the Bears don't suck, Al. No, Chris, you can't believe everything that you read. Like, watch for it. They do it every effing week. And it's happened to the Patriots a couple times, most notably the on to Cincinnati game. Oh, I guess Brady isn't done. Like, so, but that's the kind of night we're on. That's the kind of night it's going to be. So I guess, Al, the Chiefs, sir, I have to get back in line. I guess all those reports of their ascension are premature, you know, like, but it's just sort of setting up like that night. I feel it coming.
Why are you mad about it?
It's annoying. It gets really annoying.
But in those instances, the on to Cincinnati game, I mean, a lot of people did bury that team. And this time around, too. Think of the way we talked about them for those, you know, those 2 weeks of losses to Jacksonville and Detroit.
Well, I'm not burying the team yet. I mean, I think if they lose, it's a bad sign. Because I think this is just a week that they generally respond in. And this is sort of a...
I mean, they've had like a mini bye week here, too.
And they've had a mini bye week on top of it. But this is sort of the week where they show you who you are, who they are. And they've always done it.
To me, this thing's just lining up right for the Patriots. You know, Kansas City's rolling. The last couple of weeks, Kansas City's had to grind a little bit more, maybe offensively. They only got 30 last week. Patriots are coming off a Thursday night game, so they have plenty of time to prep. They just got Edelman back, and it looked like their offense was right back to where it was when he was here. Like, to me, it just feels like everything in this game is pointing Patriots. Everything.
And if they don't win, I'm going to say, well, that's different because they usually come through in this spot. And if they win, you say they're the favorite in the AFC again, and here we go. And now Kansas City's still got a game on them, but you've got the tiebreaker. You'll catch up eventually after you get through all these AFC bums. And it comes through New England again, and then New England, and then KC's in New England in the playoffs. No shot.
I mean, the stuff that interests me in a game like this is the matchup, how Belichick coaches it, like what the game plan is on defense especially. Like all of that stuff is stuff I want to see. And I don't know, maybe I'm taking the cheese off the Indianapolis game because for three quarters that Indianapolis offense to me was inept, or maybe not quite three quarters, but whatever. You get the idea. And so I just think that, I don't know, I get the feeling Kansas City's going to have a harder time in this game, particularly on defense, than people are anticipating. The Patriots are going to shred these guys. Shred them. With Edelman in the offense, I don't see how Kansas City stops the Patriots.
They've been practicing with a wide receiver at safety this week because they're so banged up, Kansas City.
I just don't see how they're going to stop
them. And it was bad anyway.
Yeah, I don't see, you know, if it's a shootout, the Patriots could easily win a shootout now that Edelman's back. I think they totally could.
We continue with your thoughts on an agenda-free Friday. Dan and Quincy joins us. Hi, Daniel.
Before I get to you and Cora's reasoning for starting Price in game two, Felga, Maz, yesterday you incensed me after you hung up on me. You completely mischaracterized what I said. I said,
Danny, I hang up on you because you always go backwards a day, and then we got to clear that thing. And by the next thing you know, we're 2.5 minutes into the call. That's why we don't give you the time. Can you just give us today?
We're talking about David Price starting in game two. That was my commentary yesterday. And Maz went on this rant about, oh, you got to manage differently in the playoffs, when he himself disagree with bringing Sale in. All I said was Price has been your number two starter all season. He's making $30 million a year. You got to give him the ball as your number two starter in a seven-game series. Nobody's won. Nobody's lost. Situational managing, Maz, is completely different. And when I saw Angry Bird stance, Crouching Tiger, Kimbrel, and warming up, I said, you better bring Sale out to start the ninth. You still there?
Yeah, we're still here, Danny. Go.
So, Maz, the two different things, Maz. Tell me how you can disagree with bringing in Sale in game four in a five-game series and announcing David Price is your number two starter in a seven-game series when the series hasn't even begun yet.
I just don't know how those two things are the same.
Me neither.
They're not the same. They're completely different, but you characterized them as the same thing yesterday, which pissed me off.
I don't remember doing that, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, you did, Tony.
I'm
confused. Why did you disagree with bringing in Sale? Tell me.
Because
it's so about this poor Sale adaptive managing. Why did you disagree with
Are you going to let me answer? You're just going to keep flapping your gums.
No.
Because he was your game five starter. That's why. He was your game five starter. For no other reason. I have no problem bringing a starter in to pitch. He did it with Porcello in game one. I didn't bitch about that. But Sale was supposed to go game five, so now you're going to bring him in relief in game four? That I don't get. And not in the first round.
I don't get what it has to do with Price in game two.
You've got to adapt and manage, Tony.
You do.
Everything you believed in.
You do, but not with your starter in game five.
You got to put the kill shot in the Yankees in game four. When I saw Angry Bird stance, Kimbrel, Crouching Tiger Kimbrel warming up, I said, that guy's going to blow the game.
You said that
That's
already.
Exactly what I said.
He almost did it.
Okay, Danny, can you do something else in 20 seconds? I know you called on something else.
Oh, me?
Okay, see, that's it.
That was a perfect ending.
He wonders why he can't get it out because he always goes back to last week you said and yesterday you said, and then he's got to clear the decks on yesterday before he even gets to today, and then I can't wait for today.
Oh, brilliant.
I like when he always goes back to Super Bowl 42.
Always. Yeah, let's go back to that.
Who, him?
Yeah. Huh? Here's Murray's update, and we're back with more.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Every afternoon, it's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It really is a difference maker.
Ooh. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Hello, Astro, my old friend. This time is after me again. All those beat guys who are mean tweeting, and all those radio jerks who keep teasing. A bad decision is truly what I have made, but I got paid. Oh, how I wish I hadn't come.
The 0-1 swung on and ripped to deep left field. That ball is going to be off the wall. Torres scores. It's a ribby single off the wall by McCutchen. The Yankees take a 3-0 lead.
And this is ugly as David Price leaves here, the booing here.
You know, my spirits are down. My confidence isn't down. You know, I'm looking forward to getting back out there and getting another opportunity.
I trust the guy.
All right, we'll see. Quality start, the generic quality start. 6 innings, 3 runs. Can he do it? Can he do it? These two guys say no. I'll give it a yes. I'm not exactly confident of it. I told you he was going to do it all season. He was going to have his breakthrough. And then that thing happened against New York. And I saw the look in his eye and the sweat and the panting and the grasping of the pants and the hand flexing and the, oh, God. Like, this is so, it's just unbelievable. You can't do this every single time, can you?
From the first pitch. That was the lowest of the low for that guy.
Every single time. Are you going to do this every single time? And I guess, you know, he hasn't done it every single time, so that's not totally
just
fair.
Feels that way.
Just feels that way. Every time that I've paid attention, you've done it.
I'm telling you, I would love to look and see how many starters have gone 6 innings this postseason at all. I'll try to look. I'm going to venture to find that out.
It's so true.
Nobody does it now.
They are so quick to the bullpen.
Which is why you almost have to lower the standard, because nobody's going to do it. It's almost like you say 5 innings, 2 runs. It's huge. You take that and run, for crying out loud. I'd be shocked if he goes 6. Shocked. In this climate? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
no,
I don't mean the cold weather. I mean
this day of baseball.
Yes, this current era. Like the way they're managing it, nobody goes six. I'll be stunned if he gets that far.
Here's Paul in traffic on David Price. Yes, Paul.
Hey, guys, I just need 60 seconds. Number one, your average listener, you said, was 20 minutes. My commute's an hour and a half every day. So
you've heard that David Price bit now three times, but sorry about that.
No problem. But on to Suckbag. I got two solutions for him. Number one, we're going to build a replica Fortnite gaming station in the bullpen. Number two, we're going to submit an application for an emotional support animal for Astro.
Okay, I'm going to let you go because that sounds like a comedy routine, which we don't do. We don't do jokes. I do appreciate you calling him Suckbag, though. On to Suckbag. That's tough. Christian in Foxborough, what do you got on the Patriots?
Hey, what's up, guys? So as far as the Gronk versus Travis Kelce debate, it's clearly Gronk. Travis Kelce, he's a fake Gronk. I mean, I think, you know, players, fans, coaches around the league view Gronk as a big, you know, goofball. I think they view Travis Kelce as a tool bag. And last but not least, I think that, Gronk was also drafted in 2010, Kelce 2013. I don't know how many, you know, games Gronk has missed due to injury, but 100 career yard games, Gronk has 31 and Kelce has 16. So I'll just leave it at that. Thanks, guys.
Okay. They were drafted 3 years apart, but they're the same age?
Is that right?
I mean,
yeah, Gronk definitely came into the league before Kelce.
Yeah, he was young, right?
Three years?
Gronk was young, too.
But they're both 29. I was trying to figure this out yesterday, too.
They were drafted 3 years apart? I mean, Rob feels like he might have been held back at some point in his academic development, but
didn't Gronk come into the league at like 20?
I don't remember.
I think he did.
Oh, so no, he was ahead then.
Yeah, he was. No, I think Gronk was ahead, and it feels like Kelce was on the 8-year program.
You know what? Kelsey's no freaking rocket scientist either. Caller's right. Kelsey's a tool bag. We forget this. He's like Gronk's a big personality and is sort of lovable, and
he's a human golden retriever.
Yeah, he's
Kelce's a giant DB.
Right. Yeah, Rob's great. Gronkowski's great. He's his own guy, but I don't know. I think we all like him. Kelce's an a-hole. that is true. So Kelce's the one who was helped. So I got it all backwards. Gronk came into the league at 20?
I think he did.
Man child.
Yeah, I think he did. Kelce played at Cincinnati, which I didn't even know. 2009, and then there was nothing in 2010, so he's probably hurt. And then 11 and 12. But my guess is he was on the 6-year program.
Yeah, right. Alan in Connecticut on the Sox lineup. Yes, Alan.
How you doing? Love the show, fellas. I know Nunez at third gives us better defense, but Devers seemed like his bat was getting hot towards the end of the season. He actually played good. What game was that?
So, Alan?
The game they blew out the Yankees.
I hate to, Alan, I don't want to cut you off, and I don't want to scold you, but you're thinking it wrong. We all got to change our thinking. It doesn't matter how they've been playing at the end of the year. It doesn't matter how they played yesterday. It doesn't. It doesn't matter how they played their last game, because David Price could not have been more pathetic in his getting the ball on Sunday. Brock Holt could not have been better at the plate one night, and he sat the next. So stop thinking about how Devers was playing down the stretch or how he played last week. What are his numbers against Verlander? What are his numbers against Houston at Fenway Park? What are his matchup numbers? Look those up, and then you'll figure out whether he's playing or not. Period.
I think that's the biggest part of
it. It's all they're doing.
Yeah, it's the biggest part of it. I mean, like, Holt was hot at the end of the year, and Corey even said something to that effect, right? Like, when they put him in the lineup, you swing the bat well, but if the matchup numbers were bad, he wouldn't have put him in that match.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he wouldn't have put him in. So I think the biggest thing is the matchup. They're trying to literally play it on a case-by-case basis, which might be the best way to do it.
You said Verlander's actually better against lefties than righties?
He is. Yeah, but not, you know, either way, the numbers are great. Like, the right-handed numbers against him are like 210, right? And the others are 177. And the home runs allowed are the same number to both sides. So he's given up 14 to each. Like, I think on that one, you throw the left-right out because he's just so damn good.
Cole's a lefty, right?
Cole's right-handed.
Oh.
So I was just looking it up, by the way. In the American League playoffs thus far, only two pitchers have gone six innings. One of them was Eovaldi and the other was Gerrit Cole. So that's it. No one else has gone six.
So if he goes six, it's a rousing success.
Sure it is. And look, there haven't been a ton of games played. That obviously includes the wild card games. You know, one series in the L1, so it's nine games total, or eight games total, but only one of them. And of those eight games, only twice has the starter gone six.
We've got Joe in Redding. What do you got for us, Joe, on the Patriots?
Michael.
Yes, sir.
Is it a fair question to say that a staple of the Felger and Maserati show is dealing in rumor and innuendo? Would you say that's fair?
Kind of, sort of.
I would say staple, but I would say we're not afraid to go there.
Well, no, but I mean, what kind of rumor and innuendo? Like, we don't get personal, generally.
Okay, well, my question is, you know, why is it that you two astronauts can't tell us what you think you know about why Malcolm Butler was benched in the Super Bowl? It's almost to me as if you're holding out hope that one day you're going to get back on that boat with Bill, Felga.
No.
I didn't invite any of it coming, so why don't you just tell us what you think you know?
Because I don't want to get it wrong. Because it's a personal thing that if you get wrong, it's a bad thing to get wrong. Like the Hanley Ramirez stuff. Like, we all heard that rumor and innuendo, but we don't go with that. I'm not going to say the guy got implicated in a fentanyl heroin dealing deal unless I know that. Right? And then it came out and it turned out he was. So,
yeah, that's real world stuff.
So then I'm fine talking about it after his buddy gets pulled over with the fentanyl with his, you know, with the name on it. And where is Hanley, by the way? Oh, there was nothing to see there, I thought, Pete Abe. Oh, so he's like disappeared, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no one's heard a peep.
Yeah.
About Hanley Ramirez months.
No. But if we want to speculate that Hanley didn't show up because he hates the manager, that will
Yes, that rumor and innuendo all day long. Absolutely. That Bill and Brady aren't talking to each other and they're throwing feces at each other in the office, like, that will do. But the, you know, you were implicated in a drug ring. Now I'm going to wait for someone else to report that. And the thing I heard on Malcolm Butler, I'm going to wait for someone else. And then we'll pile in.
I mean, it's out there, though. People talk about it, right?
Do they?
On the street.
Oh, yeah. On the street, they do.
I mean, we've had callers call up and sort of insinuate that they, something similar.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, I won't say it on air, but you catch me out in the streets, I'll tell you.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Catch these guys at the dunk. They'll let you in on it. Alex in Burlington on the Patriots. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just a couple points about the Kelsey and Gronk thing. We were talking, I heard you guys, it was either you or Touch and Rich, and it was a good point of contention for, like, the five different, like, metrics that you guys are trying to evaluate on. So just a point of clarification for those, Gronk ran a 4.68 40 during his combine, or whatever the unofficial time was. Kelsey was a 4.89. So we were talking about speed, and you're talking about the intangibles. At the end of the day, Gronk draws the double team. Tyreek Hill draws the double team from the Kansas City side. I know Kansas City has a lot of offensive weapons, but so do the Pats. At the end of the day, Gronk's going to be the guy that draws the double team.
Fair enough. I mean, that's why I go Gronk. I don't even care what his 40 time is. I'm just saying, if you want to be fair and say that Kelsey's quicker, fine, take it. But he might not even be. Like, I don't care, but that's not even in my analysis. My analysis is that you can take Kelsey out. I've seen it. The Pats have done it. The Pats have taken out Kelsey. When Rob Gronkowski's healthy, you can't take him out. You can double-team him, and Brady will still throw it, and he'll still catch it. And you can't say that about Jimmy Graham. You can't say that about Travis Kelsey. You can't say that about Aaron Hernandez. You can't say that about any of these other tight ends. And I would put Kelsey in that category, the Jimmy Graham, Aaron Hernandez, where they're like receivers more than tight ends. But call them whatever you want. You get physical with those guys, you can take them out. You double-team them, you can take them out.
Rob Ninkovich apparently did some radio interview in San Diego today. I don't know why there, but he called Kelsey a glorified receiver and said, I've thrown him around like a little doll.
Now, granted, I saw those comments.
Granted, yeah. He's biased, former Patriot and all, but he's not wrong. Like, that's the thing about Kelsey. Like, you can knock him around and that's it. There's quitting that guy.
So, talking about the double-team just quickly, 3rd and 6, Kansas City lines up. Who do you double-team?
Kelsey.
See, that's what I say, too. I mean, in that situation, to me, that's the guy.
Now, or if you have a really good physical cover guy, that works. If you have one single guy against Gronk, it doesn't work.
Well, you know what? Maybe you put Gilmore on him in that situation. Gilmore could handle Kelsey, I think.
Definitely. Since he's such a man guy, not a zone guy.
No, that's right. He can't play him in zone anyway.
Drew in New Hampshire on David Price. Wrap us up today, Drew.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm going to be going to the game on Sunday, and we pay this guy ace money. We signed him on as an ace. He needs to go 6, plain and simple. I'm a little upset that I'm not going to see the zoomed-in camera angle of his face the second he gets the first shot off of him, you know, sitting there breathing. Oh, what's that patch on my arm? Oh, it says postseason. All of a sudden, his jersey feels like a lead blanket, and he can't breathe.
It's going to be hard to pick up in the park. You're right.
That's right. The bunting is there. Now the AL.
ALCS. Deep breaths. What are they doing? Deep breaths. Like water off a duck's back. Water. That's cold. I'm cold. Just throw. Just throw. Tug. Tug. That woman behind first base, she's got hot chocolate. I could use a hot chocolate. I could use hot chocolate right now. Wow, it's cold. I wish I didn't wear these sleeves. Boy, this is cumbersome. Oh. George Springer, he's been great. 7 home runs in his last 7 games in the postseason. Oh, thinking too much. Thinking too much.
So this is Sox versus the Sox have a chance for this.
Oh, for sure.
You got it. You.
No, it's true. In Game 2 of the American League Championship Series, David Price is going to give birth.
But that human drama, that is human. That's not sports.
Oh, that's must-see TV.
That is human drama. Watching another human being fall apart or not. Right? Like, that is...
No, right.
You have to watch that.
It'll be like watching John Vandeveld in the British Open.
It's a lot of examples.
Years ago. So, right. Oh, yeah.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
And let me just say one more time to make sure that I take care of these folks. That Agenda Free Friday has been brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com.
All right, well, let's get to it. We have a couple of Maz-produced pieces here. I believe it was Hardy that put these together.
You mean Maz-themed.
Maz-themed.
Did Maz produce these? Did you do these, Maz?
No.
I think Hardy, as usual, put these together.
Awesome.
So what do you want to start with? They're labeled Maz Frank the Tank Impression or Squeaky Maz Holt Cycle.
Oh, Holt Cycle. I got to hear this. I don't care what order, but that's good. How'd you enjoy the cycle?
Oh, no. I mean, to me, that was just it's one of the things that I will remember until the day I die. Really, I will sit there before they dig the hole for me, or, you know, put me in the urn, whatever it is, I haven't quite decided. When I go, I will sit there and say, the 2004 Red Sox, the 2001 Patriots, and Brock Holt's cycle in Game 3 of the 2018 Division Series against the Yankees. That is what I will remember most. It is right up there at the top of my list.
Against a backup catcher.
Against a backup catcher, correct.
And he was happy with himself.
Oh my God, was he ever? He looked like freaking Roy Hobbs running around the bases while the light stanchions are exploding and fireworks at the end of the natural.
How do you feel about the cycle in general, Maz, in baseball?
I hate the cycle. It's useless. It's a trick shot. That's what it is. It's a little trick shot. It's a stupid-ass thing that all of a sudden, congratulations, they dealt you a hand of cards and you get a rainbow. Terrific. One in every suit. Fabulous. And the fact that the home run came against a catcher who's on the mound throwing 80 miles an hour shouldn't count. It shouldn't even count.
Fake. Fake cycle.
Fake.
Absolutely. Fake cycle.
Asterisk.
I'm leaning towards cremation. Just burn me up and put me in a jar and I'm good with that.
I did find that an interesting digression.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would donate my organs and then, you know, light the match and let's go.
Wow.
All right, now it's time for the Maz Frank the Tank Impression. There's been so much this week in terms of the Red Sox and them winning that series, the fake cycle, Patriots in this big game against Kansas City. I forget what the hell this even is.
All right, Patrick in the car, your thoughts on the Sox?
Maybe we're having a problem with
Mike, I think our phone system's frozen.
Hold on.
Oh, boy.
Peter, are you there?
Well, we've seemed to run into an issue.
I don't know where I'm going.
We've got,
but I sure know where I'm going.
We've got Max and Cohasset. Sweeney failed the offseason.
Hanging on the promises and songs of yesterday.
Frank the Tank Marchand fight. Want to just do Frank the Tank for me?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I ain't wasting no more time.
Last night, watching that was like porn to me, Felger.
Here I go again on my own.
I wanted to attack my roommate and suffocate him with my pillow. All I did was spend all day at home buttering myself and watching that video on a loop. I love the violence.
Jimmy's going to try and do, but pull up Frank. Frank, go ahead. What did you think of Marshan last night?
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Last night I dove into Orlando Lakes heaven. Built on a stairway of country crock lid. Sometimes you're going to get your ass kicked. And you know what? That guy deserved to get his face turned into hamburger. It was so juicy.
Okay, Frank.
Let humans hurt other humans.
Okay, Frank.
It's like a PSA. Let humans hurt other humans.
Brought to you by the Ad Council
for Frank the Tank.
For inhumane treatment to humans.
It's that kind of action that got me thrown out of the Bruins Wives Carnival.
Oh, that is brilliant.
That was good.
Hardy, thank you for that.
It's that kind of action that got me thrown out of the Bruins Wives Carnival.
Well, no, but this is true.
No, that's something he always says.
It's a true story.
He went to the Bruins Wives Carnival, walked up to Kyle McLaren and said, "You're a P-word," and they tossed him.
Game misconduct. Frank went to the carnival and got a game misconduct.
True story. Hey. Oh, that was brilliant. Hardy, thank you.
Felger and Maz.